Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Just like the song said, even though we were a messed up group of people, even though we are the ones that caused the nails to be put into his hands, even though we are part of those thorns that were crammed upon his brow, even though we were part of the crowd that yelled, "Crucify," he still loved us. And this morning you may have dragged your sorry carcass in here barely with one eyelid open. You may have had a week from hell itself, and you may have just barely made your way in here. May I tell you, regardless of what you have done, regardless of what you're going to do, God still loves you. And he's not given up on you. You're not here by accident. You didn't just show up this morning. God divinely appointed you to be here. And may I beg you this morning, listen to him this morning. Thank you, Wendy. I enjoyed that song because it pointed me to Jesus Christ. Anything we sing, anything we preach, anything we do ought to point people to Jesus Christ. And if you're being pointed to anybody but Jesus Christ, you're being pointed in the wrong direction. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. 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 That's just a mini sermonette this morning. Open your Bibles up to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. You say, "Brother Brian, you're fired up." Yes, I am, because I worship a living God this morning. I worship a God who not only knows everything about me, I worship a God who saved my sorry soul through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given me chance after chance after chance. He hadn't give up on me. He hadn't give up on you. Why don't you start obeying him and doing what his will for your life is this morning? We've been looking at the different churches, the seven churches that we've been called to here in Revelation chapter number 3. And I want us to look at the church, the seventh church, the one that describes the state of Christianity right at this very moment. This seventh church here in Laodicea, starting in verse number 14 of chapter 3, this is the church age that we are in right now. This was a literal church in Laodicea, but it not only was a literal church, it was also a church that is just like we are right now. This is God's final message to the churches. This is him saying, listen, get your act together. Stop being what you've been and start getting your act together. See, but here's the thing. God knows our hearts. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing, but he says, I'm calling you back to me still. I'm calling you back to, I'm giving you a chance to come back. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not abandoning you. You've walked away from me. You've disgusted me. You've done all these wicked things, but I'm still calling you back to me because you're my child. Brothers and sisters, you've got to make a decision today. You must make a decision today. Either you're going to keep going the way you're going and you're going to suffer the consequences from those choices that you're making, or you're going to come back to the living God and say, oh God, forgive me. I need to be what you want me to be. We all must make that decision, all the way from these young boys right here, all the way over here to Miss Annette. Every single one of us has to make a decision today. Am I going to do what God's calling me to do? Am I going to live like God's calling me to live? Or am I going to keep doing what I want to do? See, because Jesus hadn't given up on us yet. He knows what's happened in your life this week, this month, this year. He knows how you've been affected by all the circumstances of life. He knows it. Yet that small, still voice is whispering to your hearts, I love you enough, child, to tell you the truth. And as your pastor, as the pastor of Victory Baptist, the body of believers that belong to this place, as the pastor here, I'm telling you enough and love you enough to tell you the truth. You can deny me and reject me all you want to, and it won't hurt you. But if you deny and reject what God is saying, you've got an eternity of a horrible situation coming for you. Look at Revelation chapter number 3, the very last church that God is speaking to here. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, this is what I want you to write, John. This is what I want you to tell them, John. These things saith the Amen, that's Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. How many of you know a liar this morning? Y'all are lying because you don't raise your hands. All of us know a liar. Every single one of us know a liar, and that liar is Satan. Satan is a liar. I'm not asking you, do you live with a liar? That's not what I'm asking you. But we all know a liar. But can you see what Jesus is? He's the faithful and true witness. There is no lie in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has never said anything that's an error. He's never said anything that's wrong. He is the faithful and true witness. And right now, he's witnessing to you. It's that small, still voice speaking to your heart this morning. He's that small, still voice saying, hey, I'm right here. Will you listen to me? He says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. And he's the beginning of the creation of God. Now, a lot of people say, oh, okay, well, Jesus was created of God. No, that's not what the language is saying here. This is identifying that Jesus is the creator God. He is the one that has created all things. He's the one that's created your body. He's the one that gave you every single sense in your body. He's the one that gave you the abilities you have. He's the one that gave you the number of hairs on your head or the lack thereof. He's the one that has given you your skin color. He's the one that's given you everything about you. He's created you from the very moment of conception inside of your mother's womb. God has been with you. That's why abortion is so heinous. It's killing an innocent child that God created, regardless of the circumstances. God has created you. He's created this world. Oh, I love the Brother Danny referred to the weather. Oh, I love the sunshine. It's beautiful. The leaves are changing colors. And our little city here is so full of people coming from all over the world to come see the color change. And you get irritated for a few minutes as the traffic is backed up. But guess what? We get to enjoy this all year long. Praise the Lord. Amen? He's created you. He knows all about you. And he says, I love you. And he says this, I know thy works. Whew. That's scary. God knows everything that I do. How many of you like the idea that God knows everything that you do? How many of you like it when God knows the good things that you do? Yeah. He knows the bad things that we do. And you know what? He still loves us. He says, I know what you're doing. I see it. Nothing is hidden from me. He says, I know your works, but here's the problem, that you're neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I would be that you were cold or hot. He says, listen, I know what you're doing, but the problem is you're either cold or you're hot. He says, you're neither one of those. You're right in the middle. You're tepid. You're lukewarm. You have no heat about you. You're absolutely worthless to be used of anything. There's nothing more disturbing to me as a coffee connoisseur, and I'm not really a coffee connoisseur, I just enjoy it. Matter of fact, how many of you need coffee?
But going to a cup of coffee that I've set there for an hour and a half, and I go to take a drink expecting, and all I get is milk, no, is this a lukewarm, nasty, how many of you hate that flavor? Oh my gosh. You spew it out everywhere. It's like, oh, I can't. And you got to go get you another pot of coffee because you like the coffee hot. Or some of you like it cold. But lukewarm is just nasty. Jesus says, church, you're neither cold and you're certainly not hot. You're lukewarm. Now, is that describing you and I this morning? Some of you are cold. You have no cares for the things of the Lord whatsoever. He saved you, and that's all you care about. You've been saved. You're going to heaven one day, and that's perfectly fine with you. Some of you are hot. Some of you are telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are serving Him in all kinds of different ways. You're serving Him at home. You're serving Him at the work. You're serving Him at school. You're doing all kinds of things for the Lord. Nobody else knows about it, but God does, and you're hot. But to be honest, the majority of us are lukewarm. You have just enough Christianity to get you to heaven, but not enough to get you on fire. I'm not asking you to raise your hands to admit it, but if you would admit it to yourselves, that's me, Brother Brian. But it's not us all the time. Sometimes we're hot. Sometimes we're cold. But most of the time we're lukewarm. You could fool me all you want to fool me. You can put a $10,000 check in the offering plate to impress everybody. Well, I gave $10,000 to the church. Well, good. But He knows. See, you don't answer to me. And I don't answer to you. God knows. But here's the good news. He's saying, you're lukewarm, but you don't have to stay that way. Look at some of the identification of those who are lukewarm. Because some of you are right now, you've already shut your eyes. Look what He's saying. Because you say, verse 17, because you say to yourselves, I am rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. You know how to tell if you're lukewarm? You don't need anything. You can look at your bank account and you say, oh, I got plenty. Our president and the Congress and senators have sent me check after check after check and I don't have any financial needs. You're satisfied with that. But it's not talking about riches financially. It's talking about spiritual richness. Some of you are satisfied being saved, and that is it. You don't care that there's boys and girls dying and going to hell, and you have no interest in ministering to them. You don't care that your neighbors and your co-workers aren't going to heaven, because you're okay, but you don't care about anybody else. You don't care about what takes place. You just care about you. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about those who weren't here this morning, okay? I'm not talking about y'all. But the problem is, we think we have everything we need, but we're lukewarm. May I admit to you this morning, I need God every day. I don't acknowledge it every day to Him to my detriment, but I need Him every day. I can't be the husband I've been called to be. I can't be the father I've been called to be. I can't be the pastor God has called me to be. I cannot do it on my own. I'm a failure on my own. I need Him. I don't want to be lukewarm. He says, you're acting like you're all spiritually rich and you're all this, when in reality, you're not. Look what He says. Here's a description of us. He says, you are wretched. You are miserable. You're poor and blind. And you're naked. I'm not talking about just naked. I'm talking about you're naked. There's a big difference between naked and naked. Naked is you don't have any clothes. Naked is be without any clothes and doing something that's debauchery. Church, we are naked. You know how I say that? Because the honest truth is we're not being what God has called us to be. You wonder why you're so miserable sometimes in life? You wonder why you resort to drinking and drugs and promiscuity and pornography and overeating and over. You know why you result in all those things? Why you go there? Gossip and cheating. You know why you go there? Because deep down inside, you're miserable. You know your relationship with God isn't what it ought to be. And so what we do is we look for all these things to satisfy us. We're hurting. We're scared. We're depressed. We're miserable. And so we reach for the nearest thing. And that thing that we reach for gives us an instant pleasure. We get that shot of dopamine. And it's good. Oh, I enjoyed that. Wow. But the problem with that is that dopamine wears off. And then we got to go get another shot of whatever. And then that wears off. And you got to keep getting more and more and more to get back to where you were feeling good. Am I describing you yet? And you wonder why you're miserable. Because you're looking for everything else to satisfy you. Not me. I'm the pastor. I never do nothing wrong. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm in the same boat you are. And the times that I'm most miserable are the times that I'm lukewarm. Not cold, not hot, lukewarm. The biggest failure of the church today, not Victory Baptist Church necessarily, but the whole body of Christ, is we're lukewarm. You wonder why people don't want to come? Because you're lukewarm. Well, Brother Brian, I thought it was because you weren't a good enough preacher. I thought it was because you bore us to death. If I bore you to death, my goodness gracious. Brothers and sisters, it's not about me boring you to death. It's all about Him. He says, you're naked. You're miserable. You're wretched. You're blind. He says, I counsel you. He says, I'm advising you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He says, renounce your self-worth. Renounce it, he says. He says, be rich in me. Wear your white raiment. Wear what I've done for you, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He says, listen, get right with me. Admit that you're miserable. Admit that you're wrong. Admit that you're lukewarm, he says. Admit it to me, he says. See, here's the great news, brothers and sisters. You say, well, Brother Brian, you're beating us up and you're making us feel bad. That's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to expose the problem so that we can do something about it. I spoke to someone this week. And they said, I didn't know I had cancer until I went for a checkup. But the cancer was growing inside of me. And if I hadn't got that checkup, I never would have known. It was right next to my aorta. It would have blown my aorta. I'd have died instantly. And they never would have known. Brothers and sisters, Some of us have got a tumor growing inside of us spiritually, and it's about to bust something. And God is saying, wake up! But some of us just want to go about life. I'm okay. And you wonder why you're miserable? Y'all following me? And look what he says. Why am I doing this? Why am I telling you this? Why? Look what he says. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. God says, I love you. That's why I'm doing it. I don't do it because I'm angry at you, God says. It nowhere says I'm angry at you. It nowhere says that I hate you. God is saying, I'm telling you this because I love you. Brothers and sisters, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Have you ever seen somebody with a third eye? I mean, a big old pimple right here in the middle of their forehead. One of those ones that just so obvious that when you go to shake their hands, your eyes go up there immediately and you see it. And you try not to look at it. Have you ever seen somebody with that before? Oh, come on. It's obvious. And you know that there's nothing that you want to. You want to get up there and squeeze that thing. Oh, come on, pimple poppers. You know what I'm talking about. You see it, and your eyes are automatically drawn to it, and you so badly want to do something about it. You want to offer them a Kleenex or a napkin or something to deal with it. Or how about seeing somebody with their zipper down? Have you ever seen somebody with their zipper down before? Let me make sure mine... And you so badly want to tell them, zip your zipper up. Why? Because you don't want to embarrass them. You want them to be okay. You want them to be fine. Brothers and sisters, God is telling us your zipper is down. God is telling us you got a big old third eye. Deal with it. Because I love you. Not because I want to embarrass you. Now look at me for a minute. Everybody look at me just for a second. Why? Why does God even care? Why didn't he just go ahead and just send us to hell? I'm done with you. I've written you off. You don't want nothing to do with me? Fine, just go. Just get out of here. Why doesn't he just go ahead and do that? Because if I was God, I'd have done that a long time ago. Why doesn't he do that? Because if he did that, he'd be a liar. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wendy, that song you sang is perfect for this. Because he loved me anyway. How many of you were a dirty, rotten scoundrel? How many of you were a liar? Every hand should be up because you're lying right now. We're all liars. But God loved us anyway. So God says, this is the issue, and I'm telling you because this is the issue, what do we do about it? He says, repent. Repent. I'm calling you to get right with me. I don't like it when I'm at odds with my wife. Husbands, how many of you know what it's like to have an odd, angry relationship with your spouse? You bunch of milquetoast, wimpy men. Wives, how many of you know that your husbands are messed up sometimes? Come on, there you go, their hands are up. And you know that it was something you got did, guys. Either something you said or something you didn't say, or something you did or didn't do, or something you forgot, or something you remembered that you shouldn't remember. It's something that we did. And that relationship we have with our spouse is obviously ignorant. But when we go to them and we ask them to please forgive us, and we give them a big old diamond and candy and roses, it gets better. No. When we admit that we messed up and genuinely do it, it's amazing how that relationship is restored to where it should be. You know what? God's not calling us and asking us for diamonds and money and candy and roses. You know what He's asking us to do as a church body, as an individual Christian? To just turn back to Him. You know how I know? Because He's still calling us. It's not too late. You may have got drunker than a skunk this past week. You may have tried every drug you could have to find some strength. You may have been into pornography so deep this week that you are having a hard time out. You may have lied and cheated and stolen this week. You may have done all these things. But you know what God is saying? Come home. Repent. Make it right with me. Because He loves you anyway. Aren't you tired of being lukewarm? Aren't you tired of just living every day, just being miserable? Wondering why? It's because you're lukewarm. It's time. I firmly believe that the next great event is the rapture of the church. Today, tomorrow, next week, I don't know. I just know it's coming. And it's not too late to get right. God is calling you because He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person, will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Is God knocking on the door of your heart this morning? How about it? He's knocking. Will you open the door? Will I open the door? To him that overcometh, God says, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, says unto the churches. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Not these ears. This ear. It's not too late. Let's repent. Ask Him to forgive us and be what He's called us to be. Would you just be the wife God's called you to be? Would you just be the sister, the daughter, friend that God's called you to be? Guys, would you just be the husband, the father, the brother, the son that God's called you to be? Kids, won't you just be what God's called you to be and stop fooling around and playing the stupid games? Repent. And my Father says, I'll open you. Come to me. I'll forgive you. It's not too late. It's not too late. Let's all stand together this morning. I was the crown. I was the thorn in the crown. I was the nail in the wrist. I was the one in the crowd screaming, crucify. Yet he loved me anyway. Look at me for a minute. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Won't you come to him? Not to me. Don't come to me. Come to him. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. God, we're so unlovable. We're so unworthy. This may have been the worst week of our life. We may have messed up so totally that God, it just seems like we can never come back. But God, you are calling us to repent and come back to you. It may have not been something physical. It may have been an emotional situation. It may have been us just wanting to give up. But God, you have given us another chance. Thank you for loving us anyway. Lord, today is a day of decision. I'm asking you, God, that today we would decide to come back to you because you're calling us to you. Unfortunately, God, there's going to be some that decide to have nothing to do with you. I'm begging you right this very moment, prick their hearts. Please, God, before it's too late. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God, for being lukewarm. Oh, God, we need you desperately. And I'm asking you, Father, to call us and draw us to you because you're the only hope we have. We love you and we thank you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Shirley's going to play a couple verses. If you have a need, I invite you to come. If you want to make an altar where you are, please do that. But just please respond to him. Come back. Come back.